This is CliffCentral.com.
Morning to you and to you and especially to you this morning on CliffCentral.com. My name is Alan Ford with the one and only Nathan Rowe.
And this is The On View,
where we're the thin,
the rich,
and the fabulous. And it's important to always remind people we're never sure how thin we ever are or ever going to be. Being rich, well, that's infinite or poor, depends how you want to see it. Rich in spirit, I guess. But we're always fabulous, darling. That's the point. And it's good to be with you here this morning. Of course, a packed lineup full of wonderful guests. And full of lots of celebration.
I'm actually so excited to have a room full of ladies for a change.
I know, love, isn't it wonderful?
You tend to go the other way when booking guests.
I wonder why.
Yeah, no, I'm happy today.
But I've got to say something that I'm very, very proud that we're going to be chatting to a whole bunch of wonderful guests. First, we can discuss Tease, a blow wave of sexual awakening with Tumi Morake and Vanessa Frost. It opens tonight.
Correct.
At Daphne's Place. We call it Daphne's for
Daphne's.
Years. It's Daphne's Place. And it's obviously the Auto and General Theatre on the square. But it's Daphne's Place. Everyone goes for a chicken curry and then goes to Daphne's. I love it because that's how we always say we go to Daphne's. And then we are so excited because we've got Melanie Burke in studio, who is the chairperson of the 54th Fleur de Cup Theatre Awards. Melanie's been doing this for 7 years, turned the awards around, and leaves this year after the most wonderful success of the biggest awards in South Africa, across all platforms, by the way. So 54 years of these incredible theatre awards.
And now she's going to fleur de coupe.
And he's, exactly. And now she's going to fleur de coupe, yeah.
I'll be fleuring the coupe fabulously, though.
Yes, fantastic.
And then, of course, what I've done is I've asked two of your nominees to join us, but it just so happens in a room full of comedy and fun that one of the nominees that we're going to chat to in a moment is Alan Committee, who is nominated for the best leading actor in a serious drama called Oleana. And we're going to chat to Kim Lewis, who is nominated for the lead actress in David Cramer's Long Autumn. And the last time she was on stage was 20 years ago, listen to this, on Broadway. So she hasn't been on stage in 20 years, and she came back and she did David Cramer's production of Long Autumn. So we'll have them chatting online. So it's a really packed lineup. This is really good stuff. I want to, Melanie, 54 years, incredible stuff.
Do you know what? It's such a delight to do this. I also want to acknowledge that the Fleur de Cup wine brand turned 50 last year, as did I. And I think 50 is also about being fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
And so this year, the 54th Fleur de Cup Theatre Award is going to be this incredible celebration of the unseen effort that goes into making theatre and making wine. And so we're blending these beautiful notes together on stage, and we're just absolutely celebrating the actual work that it takes to make amazing theatre. So I'm really excited about that.
And of course, we'll chat to these two phenomenal ladies in a moment about their show called Tease, and of course the theatre work that they've done for years. But on the line, let's go to a nominated actor, the one and only Alan Committee. He's also a hysterical man and a brilliant comedian, but also he at the moment is, I believe, rave reviews. And they say he's going to win many awards for Richard III that he's playing at the moment in the Cape. Alan, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mr. Ford. Lovely to join you. What a lovely bevy of talented people you have in that studio. I can't see them, but I imagine they're brilliant.
They are here. And, of course, you know Vanessa Frost and Tumi Morake. And, of course...
Very well. We were lovers. Both, all three of us were lovers in the Cape.
We
it was wonderful.
Okay. It was wonderful. Very moving time for all of us. Yeah. Until it ended quite badly. But anyway, we speak not of that.
Alan, these theatre awards are quite important, and they are because they represent what, do you think?
I didn't hear your question.
So these type of awards and being a part of the world of theatre and the world of performance, these type of awards like the Fleur de Cups are really important because, why do you think?
Well, I suppose, an acknowledgement of the hard work that goes into any project, any creative endeavour is important. These particular awards are amazing in Cape Town because, as you recognized earlier, they look at work across many platforms. They look at a number of categories. And the panel of judges who do kind of see a huge amount of work across the year do so, you know, out of their own time and money, and over the years have shown a real kind of range of their choices and what have you. So yes, it's lovely for performers and theatre makers to be acknowledged, and I think it's important at the end of every year also for the public to know the kind of range of stuff that's been put out. So it is, it's a great endeavour, and it's lovely to be nominated, of course.
Alan, another wonderful thing is obviously that the more that you get acknowledged and you win this type of prize money, the more that you get the exposure, the more you get people to come and bums on seats, isn't it?
You hope so. It's tough out there. You get people to leave their homes and into the load shedded streets of South Africa. So it has become harder, and this certainly goes a little way to helping that. Yeah, the fight to get an audience is an eternal one, and every little bit helps. So yeah, certainly this plays a part.
Tell us about your role in Oleana.
Well, this was a great opportunity. The Fugard and I had been talking about it for a while. David Mamet is one of the great American playwrights. This is a two-hander that's, I think, quite timeous in that it talks a little bit to the Me Too movement. It certainly speaks to a power and relationships between status relationships between men and women. It goes about a college professor and his student who start off on a dynamic that seems initially fairly innocent and ends up becoming a very powerful struggle between them. And it's based around kind of language and persuasion and you know, who has rights over the other. And in the end, it becomes very violent. And so in that way, it's quite prescient. And when we played the show last year, it was, of course, at the time of the Brett Kavanaugh hearings. Mm. So it just felt like this play was, you know, repeating history, because when it was written in the 1990s, the playwright David Mamet was actually basing it on a very similar set of circumstances in terms of hearings that had happened in the early 90s. And so it is interesting again, and if I can draw a comparison to, I'm doing, you know, William Shakespeare's Richard III, and there the stories are also a repeat of history, because we're dealing with a megalomaniac, power-hungry person who uses opportunities to become a leader, and we've seen that around the world in a Donald Trump, in this Brazilian dictator, perhaps even in politicians in this country, how people use the inert masses and take an opportunity and rise to power. And then we look at them and we go, how did they get there? So I think that's one of the powers and strengths of theatre, is that it does reflect some of the society that we speak to.
Richard III plays till when? Give us the dates. People are listening all over the country.
Next Saturday, March the 9th. We're at Maynardville Open Air Theatre. It's a beautiful setting. You can picnic outside. You can come in and enjoy a brilliant political thriller, which is receiving great reviews and
great reviews.
Wonderful audience response.
And it's Cape Town, so there's no chance of rain.
Not yet. Not yet.
Not at the moment, no.
And are we seeing some of your comedy work coming back to the stage? I mean, we loved you last year.
Yes, sir. Of course. Yeah. Joburg will see me with Classy Clown later this year. I think we've scheduled for August at Monte Cassino. And then I've got a brand new stand-up show at the end of the year, which will tour the country. I'm hosting a Jai Funny Festival at the Baxter. So lots of comedy again in 2019. So all very good.
And I must say, to have two of your fellow comedian stars, both Tumi Morake and Vanessa Frost in studio, is phenomenal. Tumi, as Alan said, you guys had a threesome at one point in time.
Yes.
Wonderful. Alan, go well.
I just say quickly, before we go, I saw Keith at a festival at Grahamstown, and it's fantastic, and I'm thrilled that that show is coming back, and if Joburg people haven't seen it, they're missing out. They need to action themselves.
It opens tonight.
Support these two. Tonight, well, for heaven's sake, just sort yourselves out. Yes. And don't see these two phenomenal women. For heaven's sake, why wouldn't you?
I think he's hoping to get lucky.
Yeah. Aren't we all, dear? Aren't we all? Except for people that are involved, obviously. Nathan has something for you, Al.
Nice day today.
What's where?
Listen.
Who's that, Alan?
Alan! Al! Alan!
I don't think you hear me, you know.
It's just because there's so many Alans in
Alan!
The studio today.
Alan! 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 Al! Oh, wow. Alan! 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 Alan!
That's how many there are.
What a mess, Alan. What a Thursday.
Wow. Al, crazy.
From one Al to another Al. Cheers, eh? Be
thank
good.
You, Al.
The one and only Al Committee, eh? Great, great. And, of course, he's nominated for Best Actor at the Fleur de Cups happening next week, Sunday, in Cape Town. And we're going to carry on chatting to Melanie Burke in a moment. We'll get Kim Louie on the line later in the show. But thank you for joining us. And thank you for 7 years of hard work. And thank you for turning those awards around, because they really were in the cuck. Well, let's be honest, they were in the cuck.
Can I just say that I think, that word is relative. And I think that...
It's the wrong word.
So one man's cuck is another man's treasure.
Exactly. And I think the industry has changed quite a lot. I mean, I'm sitting here with some people who work in this industry, and I think it's become really, really tough. We have a story in this country that arts is not important. And I am the daughter of a musician, and my father's been dead more than 40 years. But when people remember who he was through me, something happens. And I think it's part of who we are as humans, and it connects us on a human level. And so that's, for me personally, why the last 7 years has been such a privilege, because it's been able to allow me to make a contribution. I come from banking and IT. Please, let's just be clear about this. Mm-hmm. I didn't come from this world. And so it really was a privilege and an honor. And I did not do this on my own at all. I think the industry came on board. We worked very hard to make sure that we, in a way, transform the awards to be more inclusive, to be more contemporary with the narrative in the country. And I think it is also about contesting the resources that are being made available to professionals in the industry. And, we heard some stuff around the budget, and I think that we have to challenge a lot of that stuff, because I think when people make policy and have conversations about people and don't include the people that they're talking about, we get it very, very wrong. And we don't have the time or the luxury to waste any more resources when our country so badly needs. Alan was talking about the idea of life, and theatre and art working hand in hand. And I think what I love about theatre is it allows you to go and suspend your disbelief and your hardship in life and be with that story. And sometimes that story on stage is the thing that you need to get your own insight to sort yourself out. And I just think that the power of the arts is just something that we don't really appreciate. And personally for me, that's why I think the industry has paid attention, and that's why the Fleur de Cup Theatre Awards is going to continue to find a way to celebrate excellence in theatre.
I think it's so interesting what you said about coming from IT and banking. I think we need more of that in the arts, actually. More
absolutely
people who aren't artists running things. You know, because a lot of the time when an artist gets too old to do art, whatever the situation, they go into managing things, but they're still artists, and we're not the most administratively strong people. So I think, I think it just needs a little bit more diversity from that side, corporate people coming into the art.
Yeah, I would call my creatives need to be managed.
Absolutely.
And produced.
Absolutely.
And we don't have enough
and
moneyed and finance, money, financial savvy managers and producers available to us, because Lord knows it's not a good idea for us to be doing it.
And then they end up stealing your rights, and funny things end up happening. Fleur de Cups are happening. We're going to get back to you in a moment. Melanie Burke, our very special guest in studio, who's the chairperson of the 54th Fleur de Cup Theatre Awards. Now, funny lady of comedy and the first lady of comedy. The first lady, Tumi Morake. Okay? And the original cave woman. Vanessa Frost, team up again in an Anedi-nominated production called Tease. Now, Tease is basically a blow wave of sexual awakening. Mm. Give me some more of that.
Looking so refined. Say, wouldn't you like to know what's going on?
Let's do it for you.
Mind, so let me get
right to the point.
I don't pop my cork for every she doesn't pop guy cork. I see.
Oh, Lord, and spend on some devices at this stage. So Eva and Noah are best friends and partners in a suburban hair salon, and basically they reach this crossroad in their life, and they stumble into an adult toy shop one night, and they decide to make some purchases.
You mean like action figures? Collectors?
I don't know, an action, something like that. I want to just... firstly, let's punt, because you found a sponsor, I believe.
Yes. Oh, I think this is a very, thank you very much, Alan. We, at the 11th hour, as is so often in this industry, we have found a sponsor. And our sponsor is Play With Me, www.playwithme.co.za.
What's on playwithme.co.za? I'm dying to know.
Sex toys.
Yay. Okay.
Dildos, butt plugs.
Did you say yeah?
Anal beads, vibrators.
I saw a little shop in Joburg the other day.
Handcuffs.
Annals Beads. And I just thought that yeah, well, a terrible true. Name for it.
Yeah, that could be so mispronounced. And so, yes, we have our sponsor who has provided us with toys, a little bit of cash injection, and her database. And she's an absolute treat and a wonder to have on board. We're very, very chuffed.
I'm really happy because, as I say, you know, you need in this business, you need money. To me, right or wrong. You need investment. You need people that are you sleeping?
She's thinking about the sex toys. Yes.
Ah, is that what you're thinking about? Okay. So firstly, this is the show's been to Grahamstown. It's travelled. It's up for a lady.
Yeah, well, no, it was last
it
year.
Was last year.
We were nominated. Yes.
Okay, and it's back before. On. It's back on the stage.
Yeah. So there was a whole person in between then and now. I was pregnant at our last run, and I have now got a 1-year-old baby. And so, yeah, the time was right, I think, to get back on.
I didn't even know that could happen with sex toys.
Melanie, welcome to the show. How's it going?
You know what? I've just realized just coming to be on radio with you is great theater.
You don't understand what happens yet. Everyone, okay. All right, so Tumi, great to be back on stage with Anessa. Are you excited?
I am. I really enjoy theatre. Look, the only reason I avoid it is because really there's no money in it. And I have 3 children, you know, must pay school fees. But Vanessa's irresistible. She's probably my worst case of peer pressure. And so I can never say no to her. But also because this play is so important, I've really enjoyed having people walk in with such trepidation because they've heard dildo and sex and they're going, oh my gosh, let me just brace myself. And then they watch this thing, they're taken on a journey and they walk away going, oh, I want to see that again. You know?
And they stop by the merch stand.
Yeah, because it's not just smart. It's, you know, because I think the terrible thing about people and especially for women is that we separate who we are from who we are as sexual beings. It's like we're one person when I'm Tumi, and then in the bedroom I must be someone else. But that person needs to come to the bedroom with you. And I think that play kind of highlights that.
Last night we had our preview, our first preview. And it's the preview is often made up of audience members of Daphne's members.
Members, yes.
Members. Affectionately referred to as the Blue Rinse Brigade.
Yes.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
And
so there was a moment of, you know, backstage kind of caution on, you know, but Jose Domingos, our director, said, tell the story, believe in the story. It's a necessary narrative. And they also need to have this information. And I'll tell you something. There were good, heartfelt chuckles, a little bit of amen, sister. It was, you know, we hit our truths hit home, which is really what we intend to do.
Well, if you watch this phenomenal Netflix award-winning series called Grace and Frankie, okay, with Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin, they, in season 2 or 3, they invent a dildo.
A toy, yeah.
A toy for the more older or the more mature lady, okay? And specifically because, so that you don't need to use too much of your hand with arthritis and stuff, but it's brilliant. So, and they're in their 80s. Yes. Oh my goodness. Melanie Burke, a businesswoman chairperson of the Florida Cup, is doing things. Go Mel.
Very impressive.
I'm
very
blushing.
I would love to describe to the listeners what she was doing, but I had no idea.
Just, let's just move right on.
You don't want to fill everyone in.
I'm so excited.
Red shoes were facing the ceiling. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Sure.
I'm so excited that my partner and I are going to go see this tonight, because I must tell you, when I didn't do the research until I sat down this morning. And I said, no, we're going to see it. It's going to be hysterical. I've seen you on stage before. I've seen you on stage before. I thought this is going to be funny. Of course it's going to be hysterical. But then I didn't realize that I thought tease and that hairdresser, because I looked at the
it's a nice play on words, hey? Isn't it lovely?
So nice. And then I thought, oh My goodness, we're going to be learning a few new tricks. Yeah, up the sleeve.
Do you remember the old play? It was called Curl Up and Die.
Yes.
Super Pam Grant.
Beautiful. Why does hairdressing lend itself to such great
puns?
Well,
you know, when we wanted to do this, I'll tell you exactly what happened with the hairdressing thing, is that my partner heard a story about a real-life Joburg salon that is selling sex toys in the back room. And that is real inspiration. You know how what Mel was saying about life imitating art and art imitating life. So this is a really taking a story that I heard. I mentioned it to Tumi and we were like, yes, this is amazing. Let's do this. And if you look at plays like Curl Up and Die, Barbershop, there are a lot of them.
Hairspray.
No, just not.
Hairspray.
Hairspray. Well,
hairspray,
no,
didn't well, really.
Hairspray is a better habit.
I don't want to go with the theme on the hair.
Yeah. But hairspray is very interesting.
Hair.
Of a skinny white dude and a drag. Well, John Travolta. Think about it. I mean, could you imagine what they were up to?
But also, a friend of mine is a filmmaker, and she saw the play, and we are in the process of trying to get funding, development funding, to make it into a film. Because as a producer, it is mainly set in a hair salon. And so it's one key location with a few other locations with a few really, really meaty characters, which we all play in the play, but obviously nice roles for some South African actresses. So yeah, watch this space. That's something very exciting.
It's really hard to shoot in a room full of mirrors, though.
That's
going to be where the challenge comes. Where the difference
now,
comes.
Now, we do this before 9:30 every morning, every Thursday. And this is what we do, is we get you to sing something. All right, so I believe that you do a drunk version of Celine Dion. Do you do it together?
No.
Yes.
No, I cheer her on.
She cheers me on.
So can we set
the
scene?
But she knows the song.
No, I'm not singing the song. You sing the song. You sing the song, I'll be
so
your crowd.
So the scene is, that's I think scene. If we had to count, it would be about 8 tequilas later.
Yes.
Okay. We are now walking the streets of Johannesburg as wonders in this city. we
well, you do in Mel's Arch if you think
well,
about
you
it.
Well, you do in Melville.
Yes, that's true.
You do in Melville. In Parkhurst and Greenside.
Yeah, correct.
Thank
good.
You.
Yeah.
This is where we're going. So we're walking the streets of Parkhurst.
Yeah, perfect.
And at this stage, I'm drunk and singing. I don't want to tell you what happens after that because it'll be a bit of spoiler alert.
Okay. All right. You may need headphones for this
so you can hear this song. Yeah.
You're singing
music.
With me? No, I'm cheering you on.
Okay.
I'll cheer you on too.
The one and only Tumi Mrake and Vanessa Frost with Celine Dion's Poor Whatever.
Pourquoi tu m'as rien encore?
But coffee.
Je comprends tout le monde.
Yes, Eva.
Je viens compter personne.
Sing it one again. Ow!
Raisonnable et
joyeuse. Oh, girl, you're beautiful.
Quand les choses ont changé,
This is the song I sing.
It's a famous Celine Spears big hit.
She sings it in English as well. She
must really be drunk.
It just usually sounds a little bit more like this.
Oh, Lord.
Without Celine.
So the two of you, I want to just say that that's happening in the production of Tease, a blow wave of sexual awakening with Tumi Mrake and Vanessa Frost, and this is set walking through the streets of Parkhurst. These two hairdressers, hairstylists, drunk after having a bottle of tequila and singing this particular song by Celine Dion.
Okay.
And this is in the show that is opening tonight. At yes. The Orton General Theatre on the Square. We're going to get to you guys back to you guys in a moment. I do want to welcome to the line Jacques Moulman. I love when I see business doing inventive, wonderful things. And I went along independently to the Southern Sun and the Waterfront, part of the Soho Sun group. And firstly, it was that old Holiday Inn some years back, and it was like, ugh, ugh. So when a client said, we're going to check you in there and book you there, I went. And I was blown away by the most wonderful experience. And so I just think it's cool to give a heads up and a shout out to clever people that do beautiful things. Jacques, welcome to the line. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you. Good morning, Alan, and good morning, listeners.
Jacques, I was so surprised because I was blown away, firstly, by when you walk in and there's ice cream and sweets and treats for people and this drink station. The staff were so friendly and kind. And then you go upstairs to these new furbished rooms, which that's why I want to punt it, because you don't realize they're gems and we keep looking in other places. And it's sitting right there. So I want to congratulate you, firstly, and give a punt to the Southern Sun Waterfront. Seriously.
Well, thank you so much. You know, it's certainly a team effort, and I am surrounded by a fantastic team at this hotel. And it just makes it makes it all worth it when somebody that stays with us gives us accolades like you have been doing.
Seriously. It was amazing. I actually came downstairs like in my pajamas to like thank someone because they sent something up for me. I needed something, and I wanted to thank that. I went downstairs in my pajamas to say thank you. Seriously, because it was so cool, it was so quick. But I also wanted to say I was looking at the people have got to be inventive in business, guys. You got to be inventive, like this new sponsor of yours, ladies, and like the Fleur de Cup. You have to be different. And I love the fact that listen to this. So on a Wednesday night, because I was there on a Wednesday, they do this. All you can drink gin and different and sushi for $175, guys.
What?
Gee, that's listen
like,
to that.
It's like two gins just in Joburg.
Seriously, exactly. Just say that again, Jacques. Am I right? Did I hit the nail there?
Absolutely. So on a Wednesday evening, from 5 until 7, can have gin and tonic cocktails as much as you like. Yeah. Different gins and different tonics and different cocktails. And we throw in some complimentary sushi platters, yeah, and live music, and it's really become an absolute hit in Cape Town. You know, gin is a
where do you get that?
Well, gin is, and it's really fantastic. It's taken off so
sounds
fantastically
terrible.
Well.
Sounds absolutely awful.
Well, since I'm the Cape Townian in studio, I just want to say that I think that one of the things that Cape Townians do well, because I'm not Cape Townian, I lived in Johannesburg for a while and I've moved on there and I've lived there for about 17 years now. One of the things that I really appreciate about Cape Townians is exactly this. They understand how to do leisure and lifestyle and they do it fabulously. So I think, you know, the cost of what they're offering this at, you can't quantify that as a return because the fabulous feeling you get from just that treat, as you've just experienced staying there, is part of the charm of Cape Town.
And they also they brought back the Sunday lunch, but like a chic Sunday lunch that's got the sushi with the Jacques, tell us about the Sunday lunch. Seriously, I'm endorsing
again,
it, not just getting anything from it.
I'm fortunate, our executive chef Jean Nietling. He's also the Unilever Chef of the Year, so very innovative himself. And we recently relaunched Sunday Lunch. And there's some bits of it that's still the traditional, you know, the roast and that. But everything else is quite mod and vibrant. So, Alan, call it 12 months ago, my management team and I came together and we decided we want to kind of revive, the feel and the... What does Southern Sun Waterfront stand for? And in a brainstorm session, we came up with vibrant. And we want to be known as, you know, the most vibrant hotel in Cape Town. And everything we do, literally in every detail that we discuss as a team, we ask the question, is this vibrant? Is this full of life? And that's what we go for. That's why we do the gin and sushi Wednesdays, and that's why our Sunday lunch is not your normal traditional Sunday lunch, although there's, like I said, there's a bit of tradition in there, but everything else is different, and it's, it works for us, vibrant works.
Jacques, I had to, just really hats off, because for one main reason, I really was expecting to have a really cuck time. And it was, I was blown away, but seriously blown. I mean, I'm like 5, 6 star plus blown. Guys, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. I'm like, you're saying other hotels that are 5 star and then there's no minibar. And then you get home, you know, like you're tired after like the Florida Cup Awards, for example, on Sunday night. And then you walk into it and there's no, you can't open the bar, or they locked the bar, or they haven't filled the bar. And you're like, where the hell's the bar? And you know that, or there's no room service. And their pitch is a 4 star, which I love. Congratulations, Jacques. I'm giving.
Thank you so much, Alan.
Thank you, my friend. We'll stay in contact, and that's cool. And these are very famous people. We'll get them all to come visit you.
Yeah, we're hoping to do a run at the Baxter.
Come and join us for that dinner session.
Yeah, absolutely. So there we go. That's cool stuff. Hey?
Even actors can afford it.
Yay!
Wow.
Jacques Moorman, GM of the Southern Sun Waterfront. Thank you for joining us, and thank you to Tsogo-san. Hey, up in the game. I think it's cool.
Our pleasure.
Thank you,
our
my friend. Pleasure. Cheers, eh? Well done.
And now back to our in-studio guests, from Vibrance to Vibrators.
So, that, hold on. To me. Three kids. Mm. How old are they now?
Yay. 10, 7, and 5.
Okay. And married, happy life?
Hmm?
Are you happy? Life's good?
Yeah, it is. It is.
So here's the question. Mm. Do you bring these tools into your bedroom?
Oh, but it's a must. My first toy was bought by my husband.
That's why I'm asking the question. It's a good question.
Yeah.
Seriously, bring stuff in that's going to make... You know, can I just say something? We are sexual beings, mm-hmm. we are human beings, and we're liberated beings. Mm-hmm. If you think about it, if we're honest with ourselves. So what is wrong with a husband and a wife, let's say, watching a dirty film or playing with toys or doing something? Do you know what I'm saying? What's wrong with this type of
and
stuff?
Who are the naysayers? I think that's something that we also need to establish. Like, where did it become shame? I think something that we really try and dispel in this show is we rid women of shame when it comes to sexuality. I want to just point something out, if you give me a moment. Women's anatomy. We have something that is exclusively put on our bodies for pleasure. There is no other reason why there is a clitoris. The clitoris is exclusively for pleasure. Think about that. So now, if you're having sex and you're not getting clitoral stimulation, go and buy yourself something called a Wee Vibe, which vibrates, and it can go inside your vagina and onto your clitoris. And while you are being penetrated, you are having clitoral stimulation without much effort.
You get a Wee Vibe.
Wow. Is that
the one where your lover can control it? There's like a remote.
And not only
that sounds very cool.
And not only there's an app. So the Wee Vibe, that is the high-end Wee Vibe, can be controlled while you are sitting in your lounge in Johannesburg by your lover, who is sitting in his or her lounge in Timbuktu by their cell phone.
So you can phone
sex is a real physical possibility.
So you can get that last bit of work done while still
having an orgasm.
Giving someone an orgasm.
Wow.
Because sometimes you need to crank things up, man. You know, people need to take it back into their hands.
Crank things up. Okay, Melanie Burke, businesswoman, chairperson of the Florida Cups. Would you like to say something?
Do you know, I just find every now and then, through the work opportunities I have, I encounter these amazing humans. And for a Thursday morning, you know, before 10 o'clock, this was unexpected. And now that I'm here, I'm just relaxing into it, because you are absolutely right. I think the shame of being a woman and the narrative of patriarchy in our country, in the world specifically, do you know, I just think it's really important. And I love when you find the tribe. And it's also for me about freedom. Freedom to choose. And, you know, if I just think about just even theater making, I look at the productions that were on stage last year. They spoke so much to freedom. And I don't just mean being able to have access to things and the democracy and stuff that we're talking about, but the choices people make and the stories they were telling last year. And, you know, if you look at the nominations list, I am absolutely thrilled about the freedom with which people chose the kinds of stories they told. And I love that, because the resonance that creates with a much broader audience. And I mean, we've gone from your story now to this thing about the resonance with an audience. And I think that's important, because we need to find more ways to connect, not only with ourselves, but also with each other. And so I'm so sorry I'm flying back to Cape Town tonight.
Because we'll bring it, we'll bring it.
Because this felt, you know, like a real connection in a moment, and that thing about life and art. So I was going to now go and see the art. But I think the invitation to Cape Town is a very real one, and we've had a conversation before about which theatre we think that would just resonate with. So, yeah.
Because, you know, Melanie, this thing with the three kids and the husband, and you forget that you need to maintain this thing that you're in. So I think just when it comes to toys and conversations like that around your sexuality and owning it, as a woman, I can say my problem with a lot of chicks when we're speaking is it's like their partners own their sexuality. They don't own their own sexuality. Mm-hmm. He decides whether you're going to come or not. He decides whether you are up for it or not. And it's just, you can't live like that. You can't say we're husband and wife, or we're husband and husband, or we're wife and wife, but and we're sharing souls. Because, you know, I feel like sex is the most intimate way you could say you could share yourself with someone. So it's almost like you're selling somebody a lie, man. If what they're getting is half of what you really want to be doing,
or a quarter, or a fraction of what you are able to do with your own body.
Just be thirsty, man. Jump in that drink, Baba. Don't hold back. Because I can't imagine if I was to drop dead now and go, yo, I'd heard of this orgasm thing, and then I never tasted. No.
And the stats are frightening. Yeah. We did such extensive research into this play because we didn't want it to be smut. We wanted to speak about sexuality without it, without it begged real research. And the stats are shocking. 75% of women need clitoral stimulation to have an orgasm. 40% of women in the world die without having an orgasm.
Imagine.
Just consider
there that. Lies Jane.
And why is that? It's because of shame. It's because of
she faked it.
She faked it. Everybody.
There wrong. Lies Jane. She never came.
But she went.
I mean, it's funny because since tease, that's, I don't know. This is when I found out I was an outside girl. I didn't know. I was like, hello.
The G spot is. There's a lot of proof.
Our producer's Jane. There lies Jane. She never came and she lived in shame.
There you go. That's beautiful.
I want to just ask you quickly about the naysayers. Like, did you find in your research that, I mean, I almost picture it being like undercover cops trying to bust a drug ring, and then they find out that the drug dealers are also undercover cops. You know what I mean? I feel like the naysayers, like, we all assume they're naysayers, but I think, did you find that when you speak to people, a lot of them are actually not naysayers?
So we've got a Muslim woman, a Jewish woman, a Christian woman. Is that right?
Yeah.
And we kind of invested.
Sounds like a joke.
Walked into a sex shop. Yeah. And what's interesting for me, firstly, is that sex is a very, 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 very vital part of Islam. Mm-hmm. Sex is a very, very, very vital part of Judaism. And sex is a very vital part of Christianity, though it is more dumbed down and it is more policed. Yeah. Within Judaism...
Sex, that's the making children thing,
right? Yes, exactly. Within Judaism, women can do what they want. They can do what they want. They just have to perform their sexual duty with their husbands.
What do you mean by do what they want?
They can go berserk.
By themselves, obviously.
They can have female lovers.
Oh, can they?
Yeah. So I read an article about a from Jewish woman in Brooklyn who has a female lover, the Beth Din, and or whoever, the big Jewish board of directors.
Sure.
Look at her. She's like, they're like, have you made children? Yes, I've made 7 children. Do you have sex with your husband around Nida? Yes, I have sex with my husband around Nida. They're like, we're just going to just pretend this isn't happening.
I've got a Shabbat goy.
Exactly.
I use them on weekends.
So now I've asked Jane because we teased you, Jane.
Hi, Jane.
Hello, Jane.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, good. And you?
Jane, have you met everybody?
Yes.
Jane, so this is an important thing. Are you enjoying your sexuality?
Sometimes I do. Sometimes I don't.
Explain, because the girls are going
to
help
you. You're entitled to that.
Because I'm the one who's supposed to control my sex thing. So sometimes if I want to use toy, I can use toy to enjoy myself. That vibration to get into myself, to enjoy myself, that I'm there. I can do this.
Amen,
no one
sister.
On top of myself. It's only me doing this. You understand? So women can control themselves.
And when don't you enjoy it?
When it's with a man.
Oh my God, that question, girl. I don't have to answer that. Bye, Cass.
Bye. Oh, Jane. Jane. Okay, so sorry. Let me say that again. Jane, she came and she never lived in shame.
Amen.
Amen to that. Oh, this is so much fun. I promise you, in my life to God, I didn't think it's going to go this way. This show. But anyway, on that note, we have a song that we're all going to sing together, ladies. It's Gloria Gaynor's "I Am What I Am." I think it's an important song.
Wow. Do you know it, Tom?
I've got a phone. I'll look at that.
No, we can turn it around and you can see the lyrics. We're very good at this. This is what we get people to do. This is cliffcentral.com. My name is Alan Ford with Nathan Rowe. My very special guests in the studio are Tumi Morake and Vanessa Frost. The new show is called Tease. It's happening at Daphne's Place, the Auton General Theatre on the Square. And then, of course, I've got Melanie Burke, the chairperson of the 54th Fleur de Cup Theatre Awards. Melanie, welcome to the show. And we've had a real fun time. We're going to chat to Kim Libby shortly about being nominated for the Fleur de Cups. But let's start this. I am what I am.
I am what I am. I'm my own special creation. So come take a look. Give me the hook or the ovation. It's my world that I want to have a little pride in. My world, and it's not a place I have to hide in. Life's not worth a damn till you can say I am what I am.
This is what we do in the morning.
I am what I am. I don't want praise, I don't want pity. I bang my own drum. Something is noise, I think it's pretty. And so what if I love each other and it's bangle? Why not try to see things from a different angle? Your life is a sham till you can shout out, I am what I am. I am what I am, and what I am needs no excuses. I deal my own deck, sometimes the ace, sometimes the deuce is one life.
No return and no deposit. One life, so you
mind to open up the closet.
It is
not worth a damn till you can shout out, I am what I am.
One more time for the ladies, you need an orgasm.
I am what I am.
Well, okay. Sure. We have fun on the show. This is it. Vanessa, you're in hysterics.
Well, I took my earphones off. Yeah. And I think this was something that needs to be recorded. Is when you take your earphones off and it's karaoke without being able to hear yourself, it was really a beautiful thing.
Listen, let me just say, you don't have to be kind. I know I can't hold a note. I come from a musical family. It's the shame in my family that they say I walk next to the key. But I don't care because music makes me happy.
Exactly. No, that's it. That's it.
So now let's get back into the show. And what else have you been up to? Vanessa, where have you been besides momming?
Well, sorry, what's that?
Besides being a mom.
What's that? Sorry, I don't understand.
What else have you been doing?
I'm sorry, I don't understand. What do you mean? So, yes, I have two kids. I also have a business called Bloom and Stone, and we do kind of like a small creative agency. And we do, basically that's what I've been doing, you know, making the monies to support the arts that I'm doing my own self. That I'm supporting my own self.
That's brilliant. Tumi, what have you been up to?
Hey.
Hey there.
Oh, she's woken up. She just woke up.
I know. I just saw that.
Coffee just kicked in.
I literally did. Because you fed me wine last night. Don't make me expose you. So. this is a movie I've done. It's called 3 Days to Go. So
yes.
We were kind of traveling, trying to get people to watch the movie. So it's at cinemas. Check it out.
It's on right now.
3 Days to Go. 3 Days to Go. I was writing 2 feature films and I start filming on one. So we had to shoot a short little clip of it. About we shot about 2 minutes of it, so we could get sponsorship. And we're shooting the film. We got the money, so we'll be filming in May. And that's about it. Hey,
radio, we took a break from.
Radio took a break from. I've got a couple of offers at the table right now, so I'm trying to decide if I'm ready to go back to radio. I was genuinely traumatized by what happened at my previous place. So
let's just tap in.
scratch open those.
Why?
You opened it up. I didn't.
No, you asked me if I'm going to radio.
Said,
it was a trap.
I said, how's the rate? I didn't trap
That's
you.
Fantastic.
Okay, so let's just briefly go through that experience. First, you. For people that interpret that overinterpreted,
yes.
What's the truth?
Wait, let's start
that
with
overinterpreted.
What the media had a lot to say.
Yeah,
Instagram,
but isn't it the media? Please,
that's what
media.
I'm saying. The media that overinterpreted.
Fake news.
What happened?
It wasn't fake news. People just got touched in their studios because I stated a fact, and then I think it's just because it came from a black mouth, and it came from a mouth that was in a space that people felt.
You know, this is the Unview. You can say whatever you want.
I know. It's just, you know, I'm tired of the seeming fight. I'm not fighting with anyone anymore. I'm over it. So basically, I said something which, if you listen to a 702 or you listen to an SAFM, it's a conversation that happens and people can talk about it. I said on Jaka, and certain people just lost their shits. Because a lot of people go, oh, hey, Jakaranda was horrible to you. I'm like, slow down. It's not Jakaranda. It was certain listeners. And those listeners, a certain group of people took advantage. And it blew up bigger than it needed to. So there
which happens.
And then it just, you know, I got threatened. I really got attacked. I took relentless attacks all the way from September into, say, February after my car accident, which had happened in December. It was relentless. They found different ways to get at me because they wanted me to apologize for making a statement, which apparently the grandson of Tervurt himself has actually said the same thing. So it was hard, and that's why I'm saying I think I'm so traumatized by radio. I don't know if I want to go back to conventional radio. I'd rather probably do online.
I once did a presenter search, and also was so traumatized by that experience. I'm not being funny. That I don't know if I ever want to judge people again. Seriously, it was just such a horrible experience. And I think when you go through these experiences, and it wasn't your intention, you know, your intention is generally good, to get on the air. I mean, we're not here to insult, but you got to. And that is when my dear friend Gareth Cliff, walked out and once said about his statement was simply what happened to freedom of speech.
Yeah.
And hello, fired left, right, and center.
Yes,
he just got fired.
Yes.
Like, you're off idols now. You'll never work with this.
Which answered his question, I suppose.
And he just was like, but all I said was what happened to her. I just was asking a question, Mark. Okay. And at the end of the day, he won the case, and he was even represented by Darlene Porfer and all that stuff. But it's coming back to that story again, that what can you say, what can't you say, and the sensitive landscape. I think maybe you perhaps need to buy some toys.
Yes,
to get over yourself.
That's but also, oh my gosh, it's like 2019 now, and people need to realize we live in a country that is holding a major, major poop or a major, major fart, and we need to just let it go. I think we're tiptoeing so damn much, it's actually dangerous. And
causing
that's why we keep having these explosions here and there. People just need to, people just need to speak candidly and go, actually, this is an issue that's bugging me. Can I be allowed to say this?
Yeah.
So that we can go, you're crazy, or no, that's inappropriate. This is why it's inappropriate. Or once you've said it out loud, you can even say to yourself, oh, actually, wait. It's fine.
Maybe
it's okay.
How you respond to
you know, I've just reminded, as you were talking to me, of John Carney, who just received a Lifetime Award at the Afrikaans Festival.
At the Fiestas, yeah.
And he said something in his acceptance speech that just stayed with me. It just took me. He said, Cassandra Prinsloo made it, and obviously they have this pairing going back years. And so again, visually, you see the black and the white and the female and the male. And John said, we have been denied each other. So you're absolutely right. We have to find the opportunity to create the spaces where we can find each other. And we don't have to like each other.
Yes.
We have to find ways to recognize that each of our lived experiences has informed who we are and how we got here. But we're so busy defending our own positions that we can't hear anyone else's position. And I just think we have to create a much more amorphous way because we can, as humans, because we have this capacity, we can be connected and in conflict.
And that's what I find powerful about comedy. Because I find that, you know, some of the things you talk about.
But there you can say it, but there you can't say it. Doesn't make sense.
Yeah, but I think that's, for me, that's what makes comedy so important. Mm. Because there's so many things you can say, just package them in jest.
Mm. Trevor Noah was brilliant at the Academy Awards. I mean, wasn't that the. And you know that it's become one of the he's made the point.
Yes.
That everyone really was so proud of that. Wow!
Look, he's speaking in African language,
and he's
speaking African.
Yeah, he was speaking African.
And
yeah.
and of course, he then said what it meant about unity and all that. And ultimately, he was like, "You just know what I'm saying, you white people." But brilliant, and that became the biggest. That was the biggest speaking point of the whole Academy Awards.
Yeah,
it is only entertaining part. Yeah,
and yeah, possibly that as well.
But what you were saying to me about comedy being so important, and I think. People need to defend comedians.
Yes.
Because I don't know if you followed what happened with Daniel Friedman recently.
Yes.
I mean, he also, his newborn child was threatened because of things he said in jest in comedy. And I think we really need to defend comics and let them say things that hurt, you know, because it does sometimes. It hurts to hear things because it's true. Mm. And it's a hard pill to swallow. So I think, yeah.
We've got very special guests in studio on cliffcentral.com, Tumi Maraka and Vanessa Frost, and of course Melanie Burke, chairperson of the 54th Fleur de Cup Theatre Awards. On that note, nominated for lead actress in David Cromer's Lang Arm is Kim Louie. Kim Louie, welcome to the show. Thank you for being here.
Kim, hi, Ellen. Hi, Melanie. Hi, everyone.
Morning, Kim.
Hi, Kim. This
Congrats.
Firstly, it's incredible. The last time you were on the stage, besides being back on for Lang Arm, was on Broadway for Cut and the Kings.
That's correct. I am one of those very fortunate people to have achieved my dreams. And I'm so proud. I'm listening to the interview, and I'm so proud to be a woman listening to you guys.
Amen. Yeah,
thank you.
You've got your hands full there,
Alan. My hands are so full, but don't worry, I can handle it. But I'm big enough. I can handle it. I've got gloves.
Good, because I'm part of that tribe.
We love it. We love it. Kim, first and foremost, a phenomenal role. Tell us about working with David Cromer.
David is, you know, he hasn't changed pretty much in the way that he deals with people. He's always just been a people's person. So coming back into this was very overwhelming for me. He was happy to see me, and I think also happy to see, like, both of us, what was going to come out of this. And the way that he works is he gives you enough information to do the research so that you can truly try and capture your interpretation of the character. He's very gentle. He makes lots of jokes. We laugh very, very much in the process. And I just like that he incorporates our ideas, his philosophies, that the actor must become the writer. You know, he takes it to a certain point, and then it's up to us to develop. So he's an amazing person to work with.
And this, what made you come back after 20 years? Why the break for 20 years? Was at the moment, I think Tumi's going to take a break from radio for 20 years.
You know, I hit 40. I started early in 99 when I was on Broadway. I had a baby, and I didn't want to become another statistic. So I had a wonderful 20 years of marriage with my husband, Andre, who I met 3 months before going to Broadway. And my kids are now big. They don't want to be spending so much time with me. And I'm one of those hopeless, eccentric, romantic people that believe you must follow your passion and your dreams. You're never too old.
And Kim, what a privilege it was to watch you in Lang Arm, because, you know, the stories of that time, and as I was saying earlier, I come from a family of musicians, and the power that, you know, the expression of self has, and you guys told that story so beautifully. You know, you took us right back to that moment in time, and so it was a privilege to watch you.
Thank you so much, Melanie. That means so much, and I say that to a lot of people, but you don't understand. It's like this whole process is just a dream.
It is wonderful that you are nominated for this prestigious award. But again, to come back to the theatre after 20 years shows you that once you have it in you, it's in your blood. It's something that you love doing. Kim, I want to congratulations for your nomination. What else are you doing? Are you going to play more on the stages?
Oh, I'm open for everything. I do vocal and performance coaching from home, under Center Stage. I've now sent in photos. I've taken a portfolio. So, you know, I might try the modeling scene. Who knows? The world is my oyster.
Absolutely.
At 42.
It's brilliant. I just turned 41. It's brilliant. So it's this is the life begins when this fabulous
freedom.
Kim Louie, thank you for joining us, my dear, and I wish you best of luck for the Fleur de Cups.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
There's Toomey. Just shout out to Toomey. Yay!
Shout out.
Lots of love, my dear. Thank you. And
okay, thanks.
Again, really, really special, special stuff. I'm going to close very quickly with you, before we get to the ladies. Melanie, things that we need to know about the Fleur de Cup. Can people still go?
This is for the first time. This is always a by invitation only event. We have made tickets available to the public because I just think it's that thing. Let's share the celebration with people. Let's not keep it to us in the industry. And so people are able to buy some tickets, 250 Rand a compu ticket. There are still some tickets available, but it's for the whole shoe in. Yeah. The party, the hanging
the
out
wine,
with
the the show,
and
everything.
And I want to say to the public, don't worry about the fact that the Artscapes box office is saying it's only in the balcony. That was my rule because I wanted to contain the number of seats we could have, but everybody will be in the auditorium at the Opera House. It's that kind of gathering this time. We are celebrating excellence in theater. We are celebrating the labor of this work. And just to find ways for other people to come and connect with the professionals.
I want to thank you for 7 years of service. I'll say it to your face and we'll do some stuff going forward. Of course, we've spoken about your phenomenal NGO work that you do as well, which we'll punt next week. We've got a few more people on, by the way, next week on the line to talk about the Fleur de Cups. This is a huge, it's the biggest awards in South Africa. It's really great. And of course, I want to just thank people like the Fleur de Cups, the ladies and the fiestas. They're really great because they're recognizing the industry and you're winning money. People win money from this as well, which is good. So thank you, Melanie Burke, for joining us in studio. And of course, get those tickets at CompuTickets, 250 Rand, and it's the Artscape happening not this Sunday, the following Sunday. The date is the 10th of March 2019, in case you're listening to the podcast. All right, on that note, ladies in studio, Toomey, we're not sure about radio yet, but we've got 3 days to go in the cinemas right now. Yes. Okay. We know that we've got another movie coming. TV series is going to happen. I hope to have you on radio. Well, you're on radio with me now, so just shows you maybe it's a comeback.
That's very nice.
With us, not with me, Shem. I'm so.
But
it's great, and just, you know what, I love listening to you. Just so you know. Nice to listen to people on radio. And Vanessa Cave Woman is coming back. Do you think?
Yes, but there, we have a bit of an announcement about that. It will be coming back next year. Is in fact its 20-year anniversary. Yeah. Defending the Cave Woman has been running all around the world, actually. We sold it, but we are reopening it, and I will not be on the stage this time.
Directing it?
I will be directing it with Tumi Moraki.
Are you going? Are you doing it?
She can't say no.
Oh, my goodness.
She can't say no.
I am.
She's saying it on air, so I'm like, how this girl?
Oh, that is so cool. Really? Oh, that is so cool.
For wow. Women's Month 2020.
I love that. That is okay. That's so cool. That is so cool.
You've already sold a ticket.
I know. Lots. Do not miss the wonderful tease, a blow wave of sexual awakening happening at Auden General Theatre Square. It runs until
the 21st of March.
Yes.
So we're on. Yeah, we're opening tonight. We're running for just short of a month, and the hashtag tease the show.
www.playwithme.co.za. Yes. You will see some of those toys on stage in case you're going, tell me about these toys.
And not only that, but on selected evenings, we'll have the lady behind Play With Me on stage going through the toys, what they do, how they make feel on the inside and out.
We love that. That is so cool.
Before we leave the show, I have to speak up for my people. So you mentioned earlier that the Muslims, you know, sex is an important part for the Jews as well. It's a very important part. Can I just play you just the first line of one of the top worship songs from like 1996?
Good God.
This is ahead of your time. Okay.
I'm scared.
This is the first line. First word. Are you ready? Long intro.
My nerves are shot.
Okay, it's foreplay. Here it goes. See. So I just wanted to say that it's not just the Jews and the Muslims.
Wow.
Too much L?
Ah, yeah.
You're going to hell.
Yeah. And on that note,
we'll pray for him, don't worry.
Yeah. On that note, this is cliffcentral.com with the one and only Alan Ford and
Nathan Rowe.
I want to thank all my guests, also Alan Committee and Kim Louie. On that note, listen, this is the Unview. You never know what you're going to get every Thursday morning, where we're the thin,
the rich, and the fabulous.
Cheers.
This is cliffcentral.com.